Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown, and today is Tuesday, the 14th of January in 2014, so it's 1-14-14, and this is my first show of 2014 that I'm doing live. And we'll tell you why I haven't been doing live shows since December 10th a little bit later on. But as always, I want you to know that you're safe, and no harm will come to you in this space. My goal each and every week is to bring more love, more happiness, more joy, compassion, more peace, and more abundance into your life. And I'll ask you, as always, to listen to the show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show to implement into your daily life. And at the end, I'll ask what that was for you to kind of jog your memory. Today's show is on living life as a journey of self-discovery. Now, before I get into the show, just want to mention that I'm a featured host on Blog Talk Radio, and my show page link is, you know, http://blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. So if you just type that in, you get it. And then when it comes up, if you click on follow, which is below my show logo, which is the picture of the heart with the saying that, when you get to the heart of the matter, it is the heart that matters, then you'll automatically get a notice of every show. Be sure while you're listening to the show or afterward, if you download it, scroll down to the list of the past shows, and I think there was probably 44, 45 shows last year, to the ones that you may have missed and sound interesting to you, download those, and please feel free to tell your friends about the show. Today I'd like to start with some quotes from a variety of different people, both dead and alive. First one is from Lillian Carter, who is the mother of Jimmy Carter. Sometimes when I look at my children, I say to myself, Lillian, you should have remained a virgin. Now George Burns said, the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and have the two as close together as possible. Victor Borga says, Santa Claus has the right idea. Visit people only once a year. I like that idea with some of these people. Some of them, I think that's a little too often. But anyway, Socrates says, by all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. Well, that applies to husbands, too. Groucho Marx says, I was married by a judge. I should have asked for a jury. My wife, this is Jimmy Durante. My wife has a slight impediment in her speech. Every now and then, she stops to breathe. Zsa Zsa Gabor says that she never hated a man enough to give him his diamonds back. Alex Levine, I don't know who that is. He says, only Irish coffee provides in a single glass all four essential food groups, alcohol, caffeine, sugar, and fat. You know, I had Irish coffee when we were in Dublin. And I'm saying, boy, is this stuff bitter. And I kept putting more sugar in, more sugar. I had no idea there was whiskey in Irish coffee. Oh, well. Now, Roger Dangerfield says, my luck is so bad that if I bought a cemetery, people would stop dying. And Spike Milligan says, money can't buy you happiness, but it brings you a more pleasant form of misery. Now, here's my favorite one. This is from Will Rogers. We could certainly slow the aging process down if it had to work its way through Congress. Amen to that one. Winston Churchill said, don't worry about avoiding temptation. As you grow older, it will avoid you. And Phyllis Diller says, Maybe it's true that life begins at 50, but everything else starts to wear out, fall out, or spread out. And Billy Crystal, by the time a man is wise enough to watch his step, he's too old to go anywhere. And last is the cardiologist's diet. If it tastes good, spit it out. So, today's program, we're talking about living our life as it is a journey of self-discovery. So, the first thing when we talk about that is to really get that life is a journey. It's not a series of events. And so many people see life as you're born, you're a baby, you go to school, you graduate, you go to work, you do or don't get married, you work, you get older, you retire or you don't retire, and eventually you die. Or you could die anywhere along the line of that spectrum. And so often people think that life is like a revolving door, and, you know, the first one in is the first one out. And every one of you that's listening to this program today has personally known someone younger than you that's died. So what we're going to focus on today is the beauty of life no matter what's going on. And we got to discover that, and we got to explore how everything that happens in our life, every single experience, is created so that we can find out or discover who we really are. Now, this journey called life, let's just take, for example, you're born in 1940 and you died in 2013. So what does it say in the obituary? It says 1940 what? -2013. So your whole life, when it's over, is represented by a dash. And our challenge is, what do we want to make that life about? We're going to live from the day we are born to the day we die. Now, all kinds of stuff is going to happen in our life. And this is about everybody. Every single human being that's ever lived has problems of all sorts. No matter who we are, no matter what we're doing, we're all problem solvers. So let's look at this journey that has problems, it has sickness, it has career issues or problems, it has money. We have handicaps, whether those are physical, mental, emotional. All of us have those. And when I get into the reason that I haven't been here for the last month, we really have to explore the concept of compassion and love when we're dealing with people. And so often we forget that. Remember, society has brainwashed us into believing that we should be afraid of everybody and everything. So we buy into all this stuff. Oh my God, why did this happen? Oh, this is terrible, that's terrible. And what we're talking about in terms of what's happened in the last month is my wife Rosemary and I went to the emergency room on December 16th thinking that she had burned her back because she fell asleep with her heating pad on. Turned out that she has shingles. She had 103 fever. She had trouble with her blood pressure. They made a mistake in her medication. Her blood pressure went to 288 over 113, which created a crisis. Fortunately, there was no permanent damage. I was there at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning. They call a crash code. They call a code. A crash card comes in. We're just sitting there holding hands, quietly talking. And I'll get into more detail about that. But the bottom line of this whole thing was, we all know we're going to die. But when I'm sitting there with a woman who I consider to be the sun in my universe, and know that she could have died right there and right then, all of a sudden, everything changes. Now it's about what's important. Is that we're there at the moment with and for each other. I couldn't go through this for her. And the problem was, my total sense of helplessness. What can I do? Which brought me to the place of having to surrender. I mean, it dropped me to my knees. I cried because I'm scared, because I've been married to her for almost 47 years, and I can't even conceive of life without her in it. So it shifted everything. But I couldn't let that fear run me, because we all know that one day, today is going to be the last day of our life. That's not what's important. What's important is, what do we do with today, and how do we explore everything that happens to us as something that we have created for the purpose of remembering who we are, remembering our divinity, remembering that we are a spirit being, a soul, whatever you want to call it, that's come into a body for the purpose of rediscovering or remembering who we are. And it's these rocks in the roads, or the potholes in the roads, whatever you want to call them, that brings us there. When Rosemary called me that Friday morning before Christmas at 1:30 in the morning and said, I need you to come and hold my hand. I got there. The hospital is only a mile and a half from here, so I was there within 20 minutes. And we sat there and we held hands, and I was talking to her, and whatever it was said to me, let's go into your kidneys with the seven dwarfs, and each one of them has a water hose, and we're going to flush out the toxic crystals that have been deposited by the IV that they gave you for your shingles. And we sat there and held hands. Excuse me a second. We held hands, and for the first time in my life, my soul was talking to her soul. It was an unbelievably amazing experience. Have never had it before. Had somebody said, would you want to go through this in order to get this, I don't know what I would have said. But it was there, and it happened. And it was totally different. An amazing experience. A spiritual experience. An experience of the depths of who we are. Coming out of what we would call a tragedy. Whether it's the shingles and then the high blood pressure, the medication error, you know, we go on and on. The details aren't relevant to the program here today. But what we got to get is that we're not victims. We can't believe what society tells us when they say we're victims, because then we give all our power away. So when we give our power away, that's how leaders control us. Each one of you have to decide, are you a victim or a co-creator? And if you choose to be a co-creator, then you get your power back. You say, well, I wouldn't do this to myself. Well, that's our ego talking. We got to be careful who we listen to, whose voice we listen to. When we get to the point where we say, okay, I'm creating these experiences so it'll make me stronger, it'll allow me to grow, it'll allow me to connect with my true self, then we get rid of all this crap, all this, what is the word that they use? Brainwashing. That society has believed us, taught us to believe is real. So we're looking to view our life experiences to find the higher and deeper meaning of each and every experience. And we're going to begin this journey. As always, we got to begin a journey by asking ourselves better questions. So the question is, how is this a gift? Well, this hospital experience with Rosemary is a gift because it allowed us to put aside the day-to-day stuff and really get to what was important. And what was important was the depth that we love each other. The commitment to that and to really feel it. Now the next question would be, do I want to be right or happy? Well, engineers have answered that question by saying they want to be right. Most of us would answer the question saying, hey, I want to be happy. But, I want to be happy, but I get caught up in playing the game of having to be right because someone else, quote-unquote, challenges me. That's what I love about yoga, the concept that there is no right, there's no wrong, there's no what good way to do it, better way to do it. You do it, and that's it. And if we could do everything in life that way, and we just leave it be, like every time we have a pose, you know, this side of your body and the other side of your body, the right side of your body and your left side of your body are different. Question number 3. How do I let go? When I studied A Course in Miracles, I asked the guy that question, and the example he gave me was he just had hold a pen in your hand. Hold it straight out. And then, you know, how long can you do that? Until the pain of holding that pen exceeds the pain of letting go. Bottom line, when we're talking about how do I let go, as well as the next question, write your resignation as general manager of the earth. So often we feel we have to be in control. That was the biggest problem for me when Rosemary was in the hospital, is that total sense of helplessness. How do I do this? You know, and just watching helplessly as things went on. Excuse me. The fourth question is, how do I surrender? Well, it's not a whole lot different than letting go. And surrendering is like breathing. It's like brushing our teeth. It's like going to the bathroom. We got to continuously surrender. We don't have control over anything. Many of you are familiar with the Serenity Prayer. God, give me the courage to change the things that I can, the strength to accept the things that I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's the whole thing. What can you change? What can't you change? And how do you surrender and let go of the things that you can't change? Let go of the need to be general manager of the earth. And what does that mean is we're trying to control the flow of the river of life. You're in a boat. You're in the river of life. Sometimes the water is smooth. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes there's rapids. You don't have the oars. So you let go. You let life take you where it's going to take you. Because it's creating, and you are creating with it, experiences that will enable you, if you choose, to create or to find who you really are. And usually what happens is we get glimpses of who we are, and then we want to go back and regain them. So the last question I have here is, how is my reaction or my response going to change if I release my expectations? So we all have expectations, don't we? And the question is, how does this experience change when I release or change or reduce my expectations? And if we don't have any expectations of ourselves, which is contrary to society, saying you always have to have goals and this and that and the other thing, and you have no expectation, you say, let it be what it is. You want to perform at your highest good, at your highest level, but whatever it is. And we have expectations for how other people are supposed to respond. So we're going to go into this journey of self-discovery, and we're going to start with we're going to talk about self-love, love of our Creator, and love of others. So self-love is a journey of self-discovery. Just as all of us were taught, we weren't good enough. In all likelihood, our parents didn't know how to love themselves, so they couldn't teach us how to love ourselves. And because they had expectations, there it is, of us, When we met those expectations, they showered us with love. When we didn't meet those expectations, they withheld their love, thereby sending most of us on a lifelong journey of what do I have to do, in quotes, what do I have to do in order to be lovable? The answer to that question? Nothing. Nothing. You are lovable just the way you are. Now, your challenge is to either believe that you have to do something and it's never good enough in order to be lovable, or it's fleeting and you're only lovable for a moment or an hour or a day and then you have to prove it all over again, or to accept yourself as lovable just the way you are. Now, for you to do that, what do you have to do? You've got to stop criticizing yourself. And you got to stop judging yourself. You would never have a friend who talked about themselves the way you talk about yourself. Your self-criticism, your self-judgment. When I was taking the Christmas tree out, I cut the tree, I cut the branches, I cut the top half off, and I figured, well, I'm not going to take the tree out of the stand because it'll be wet and I might drip water on the rug on the way out to the patio. So I figured, well, okay, I'll just pick the stand up, take it out, and empty the water out on the patio. Well, I get to the patio and I look and I see that I was carrying it at an angle and I had water all over the carpet. And boy, did I beat up on myself. So I sit here and go, how do we do that? And then I have to let it go. I mean, at the time, it seemed like a good idea. I thought about it, didn't I? Well, next time I'll remember to take the tree stand, take the tree out of the tree stand, put a piece of plastic, put a plastic bag and a rubber band around it, and off I go. Now, I've been doing this for 46 years and still beating up on myself. So I can sit here and tell you this is philosophically how we do this, and at the same time, I'm going to tell you, I struggle with these things like you do. And that's why I love to do this kind of show, because it says, hey, you need to get this stuff and you need to integrate it into your daily life. And that's something for each one of us to do. And I believe that we're here to do one thing, and that's to take care of each other. Sometimes we're the ones that take care of someone else. Sometimes we're the ones that are being taken care of. Whether we're talking about physically through an illness, mentally, taking care of children, emotionally, it doesn't make any difference. We're here to take care of each other. So stop criticizing yourself. And I'll repeat, and I've said this several times, the quote I really love by Bob Proctor, and that is, faith and fear both demand that we believe in something we cannot see. It's your choice. So now, I know that you've been listening to my shows, and there may be some of you listening to it for the first time, but most of you have listened to them before. So I know, for the sake of our conversation here today, that you're going to choose to have faith. So now, you have the faith and the belief that you're lovable just the way you are. So what's going to happen? Well, fear is going to resurface, and fear is going to try and scare you, and fear is going to try and tell you you're not good enough, you have to do this, 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 and this. And you got to demand that fear get out of here. Just like there's, our son Matt was over yesterday and this morning, and he took the dog out for a walk, and he was face to face with a skunk. Well, in that case, he just quietly, backed away from the skunk. But if a wild animal gets in the house, you're going to get a broom or something, you're going to shoo it, get out, get out, get out, get out. And you want to do the same thing with fear. Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. You're not real. I may have used the example before that I know when I saw David Copperfield on television and he was making an elephant, quote unquote, disappear, that it was an illusion. I knew that with 100% certainty that David Copperfield was not making an elephant disappear. As a matter of fact, now many times they're not even called magicians, they're called illusionists. So you want to see fear as the same thing, a magic show, an illusion, It's an illusion. It's not real. Only when you believe it's real do you give it any reality. Do you create a reality for it? It's not real. It's not real. Your choice, when fear comes in, to get rid of it and choose to have faith in something you can't see, because you're going to believe in faith or fear. Pick it. Let's talk about relationships. In my opinion, all life is about relationship. And to me, the most important or the primary relationship is with myself. Some of you are going to say the first relationship is with your Creator. And I'll talk about that in a minute. For me, I have to love myself first before I could reach out and have a loving, unconditionally loving Creator that I interact with. Some of you may say you're going to go from that point of view first. Well, I'll talk about my journey and how I've come to be where I am. So if mom and dad couldn't love you and couldn't teach you how to love yourself, now rather than resent them, you have to teach yourself how to love yourself. And in order for you to do this, you have to reject all the old limiting beliefs that you're not good enough. I first heard this from Michael Beckwith at Agape here in the Los Angeles area, and he said, argue for your limitations and they are yours. And in the last cruise, I had several people who I counseled or coached after my programs, and it was amazing to me how many people were arguing for their limitations. So, do you want those limitations? Now, let's just say you had a pair of pants that you outgrew. What would you do? You'd get rid of them because they don't fit you anymore. So these old beliefs that are limiting beliefs allowed you to get through a certain period of your life. They served their purpose then, okay? Just like the pants serve the purpose when they fit you. They don't serve the purpose anymore. They don't have any value or purpose in your life. Technically, they do, because they're going to serve you somehow. They're going to serve you negatively. But when you're taking a position that you're going to say, my point of view is to move forward in a journey of self-discovery, I don't have any use for something that no longer fits. Rosemary was just telling me before the show here that she was reading in the Time magazine about how bitter your cold is in the Midwest and the East Coast, and even where it was saying that it was colder in parts of the Midwest than it was in Antarctica. Well, now, let's just say, for example, I saw Green Bay, Wisconsin, because I grew up in Chicago, and the Bears, you know, got beat by the Packers the last game of the season, and the Packer playoff game, it was supposed to be minus, you know, whatever. Let's say you got on an airplane in Green Bay to go to Panama City, Panama, which is pretty close to the equator. Would those clothes that you had to wear to get to the airport in Green Bay be of any use to you when you got to Panama and the average year-round temperature is 95 degrees with 95% humidity? No, they wouldn't have any value to you. And it's the same thing. You got to let go of stuff that doesn't have value to you anymore. So you want to focus on, where do I want to go? To me, the next most important relationship is with our Creator. Whatever name you want to give the source of all that is. I call it God. Some people call it Spirit or Universe, Energy, Yahweh, Buddha. It doesn't matter what you call it. Rosemary calls me Bun for Bunny. Don't know where she ever got that. One son calls me Pa. Another son calls me Dad. Some people who are no longer alive used to call me Jimmy. Everybody will call me something different, and I'm still the same person, answer to all of those. And I think that's the same thing with our quote-unquote Creator. I may have mentioned before that I have 18 years of Catholic education, and I jokingly would say the only people with more Catholic education than me, they call Father. So when I was in Catholic school, I was taught about two gods. One God was a conditionally loving God who criticized me, judged me, got angry, and condemned me. But they also taught me about an unconditionally loving God who loved me unconditionally no matter what I ever said or do. So I chose to believe in an unconditionally loving God. And to me, the way that happened is that I was involved with teaching people that were studying to become Catholic. And I did that for 7 years. And every year, the nun who led this team, and I was on the team, we would go through and list the traits of God, the students would, and then they would reduce it to one. And every year, it was always unconditional love. Then one year, the nun's sister said, "What was God like when you were a kid?" And I went, "Well, I know what God was like when I was a kid. You told me what he was like, you being the Catholic Church, not this specific nun. He was an old man. He had white hair. He had a long beard. And in my mind, he was an accountant. And he kept track of everything. And when I died, he'd say, 'Sit down, Jim. This is going to be one long session because you were one bad dude.'" And then she said, "Well, what's God like now?" And I went, "What? What?" And that was the most important question of my life. I thought, you told me what God was like. You never told me I could decide what God was like. So I went home. And I thought, okay, if I were God, and if I could love unconditionally, what would that mean? And the answer I got was, I would love without condition. Well, my next question was, well, okay, what does that mean? Well, that meant there's nothing I could say or nothing I could do that would change my love for my children. And I said, okay, that makes perfect sense. So what does that mean? Well, to me, the answer I got was there's no such thing as sin or hell. And then for me, okay, I'm not telling you that you need to believe this. You believe whatever you want to believe. Because remember, we're all on our own journey of self-discovery. This is my journey. I'm not trying to convert anybody into any way of believing. To me, I no longer had any need for religion. That was 1988, so the last 25-plus years, my journey of self-discovery has been between me and God. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. So, that's what God is to me. God loves me unconditionally. I don't have to earn anything. That's a human trait. The God that they taught me about that was a conditionally loving God was a human God. Had a human body, had all the human traits. And I choose to believe in an unconditionally loving creator, an unconditionally loving source. And I know I've said this before, but when I was a kid, Mom would say, "Honey, someday you'll understand." And that is my belief, that God's mantra is, "Honey, someday you'll understand." And just recently I was saying, "You know what, God, I don't understand this." And the response I got was, "Understanding is way overrated." And that's, how many things do you accept that you don't understand? I don't know how this computer works. I don't know how it is that you guys are connected to me. Hundreds of you are listening to the show at the same time, or maybe archived it or whatever. I don't know how my fax machine works. When I want to go to Europe, I sure wish I could fax myself to Europe. I don't know how my car or my remote control works. I know if the dog is in the way, the remote control won't work. But I accept these things without having to understand them. So how about you accepting that you are loved unconditionally? You don't have to do anything. Remember, you are a human being. You are not a human doing. So you are loved unconditionally just the way you are. So, to me, this is the only way I can discover who I am and how I can relate to God and how God is part of me. And all I am is one with God and one with all of you. Now, this was a tough one for me. You say, "Wait a minute, we're all one. There's 7 billion of us." And the only example I can share with you is, let's just assume, for sake of our discussion, that I am a cell in the eye of a body, and you are a cell in the liver of the body. And I am trying to describe to you the beautiful sunrise, beautiful flowers, an ocean, a beautiful baby, or a lady, or a man, or whatever. And I'm describing all these amazingly gorgeous things that are in the world that you and I live in. And where are you? You're down in the liver, pushing all the toxins out of the body. It's going to be hard for you to get that you and I are one. And yet, when I use this as an example, you get it. There's trillions of cells in our body, but there's just one body. And it's the same thing here. There's billions of us on this planet, but we're all together. We're all one. So we're on this journey of discovering who we are, or rediscovering who we are, or remembering who we are. Now, I've told you that I have 3 books that I've written. They're all on my website. I'm not going to go into that. But the book I'm working on now, the title is I Believe in God, But I Don't Trust Him. So let's just say we're walking along the river together, and one side is belief, and on the other side is trust. And we have a bridge to take us from belief to trust. Well, it's easy to believe, isn't it? Particularly when things are going well. We believe in God. But when things aren't going well, then we have to trust God, don't we? We have to trust that this is for our highest and our greatest good. Without understanding it, when we get involved into having to understand something, then we have no concept that this is for our highest good, do we? Then we're not trusting. We're questioning and we're saying, well, I know better. This is wrong. This isn't fair. Okay, we all know it's not fair. Our oldest son, Mike, I think it was a Mrs. Brown in 8th grade. She had a list of rules on the board. And rule number 2 is life isn't fair. And every single one of us knows life isn't fair until it's not being fair to us. Then we get upset, don't we? But what are we talking about? The knowledge that life isn't fair is an intellectual knowledge. And then when life isn't being fair to us, that's an emotional issue. And all of us have been in a situation where somebody was discussing something with us or arguing with us, and we were very upset and we were very emotional, and he or she was trying to be very logical with us. And when they're logical and you're emotional, all the logic in the world is going to do is make you more upset. So it's the same thing here. We have to let go. We know that life's not fair. But now when it's not being fair to us, we have to surrender. We have to let go. We have to stop feeling that we have to be able to control anything. And say, okay, how is this a gift? That's going to take us down a totally different path than why me, isn't it? So think about that. What will it take for you to trust God? That's what happened with Rosemarie. I had to go from that place of tremendous, I'm not going to use the word fear. The word that I felt was being scared. And one night before I left her, I was there usually from about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Except that day of the crisis, I was there from 2 in the morning till 9 at night. Anyway, I was scared. I was scared of losing her. And one night I went home, I says, don't you leave me. And then I came home and I thought, oh, I can't do that. That's selfish. So the next day I went back and I said to her, again, this felt like it was my soul talking to her soul. If you feel that you need to leave your body, you go ahead and leave it. Well, the human part of me is going nuts, right? Because this is, you know, you say to me, Jim, what do you want in life? There's only one answer. It's Rosemarie. And all I care about is having her. You can take away all the stuff. Doesn't make any difference. As long as we have each other, we're going to get through everything. We'll take care of each other. We'll be there for each other. And that's all that matters to me. So I was scared. And I had to let go of that fear and say, okay, I don't own her. If it's time for her to leave, in 46 years, Mom and Dad weren't married that long. Rosemarie's cousin Sal and Angela weren't married that long. My Uncle Ron and Aunt Mary Ann weren't married that long. So there's a lot of people I've known that have been married less time than we've been married. So I got to be able to let that go and trust that when and if that happens, I'll get taken care of. I don't know what it'll look like. I can't imagine being more scared than having to deal with life without her. But I got to be true to what I believe. And what I believe is that I'm a co-creator with God. And we planned this journey called life before I was born. Just like we're going on a vacation, we're going on a cruise the end of April from Fort Lauderdale. We'll finish in St. Petersburg, Russia, spend 3 nights there. The people we're going with are going to be coming here from Arizona on Sunday. We'll plan everything out. Same kind of thing. Same thing. We'll plan the trip and we'll know that the trip isn't going to go the way we plan it, no matter what. So we just adjust with what's going on in our life. And that's the challenge. That's not my challenge. That's all of our challenges. To let this go. And trust that this is going to work out for our highest good. So, if we're not going to do that, which is what society has taught us, you know, be in a place of fear, then basically what we're saying is the meaning I give to this event or experience is the only meaning it has. And I think I've mentioned in the past, the Course in Miracles and the first daily lesson is nothing in this room has any meaning. And I'll just look in the room I'm at. The tape recorder has no meaning. The clock has no meaning. The computer has no meaning. The keyboard has no meaning. The desk has no meaning. The phone has no meaning. I go on and on and on, right? Then lesson number two is the only meaning anything has is the meaning I choose to give it. And we can choose to give it a different meaning, can't we? Some people say, well, gee, I've been married. I remember I was 18 years old when my grandmother died, Grandma Brown. And she was 81. And they got married when they were 29, which was very old. So they were married 52 years. And I said, well, gee, why is Grandpa so upset? They were both 81. You got to expect her to die. Well, that's the logic of an 18-year-old, isn't it? It doesn't make any difference. It's like somebody cut his heart out and says, keep on going. So what meaning do you choose to give to the events that happen to you in your life? What if you ask, how is this a gift? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to either reduce or get rid of your expectations? These are all things that you have choice about. Once again, we live in a world of limiting beliefs and a world that's run by fear. And God is unconditional love. So we're either going to believe that this fear is real or it's an illusion. We're going to say it's an illusion, and we don't choose to believe in this fear. We're going to believe in something else. We're going to trust our Creator. some of us have a problem with trusting, don't we? Because we've trusted people who have let us down. But remember, these people live in a world of fear and limiting beliefs. So if we're going to choose to trust our Creator, who lives in a world of unconditional love and has no concept of fear, we're in good shape, aren't we? So I'm going to ask you to take a moment now, assuming you're not listening to this in a car, assuming that you can close your eyes. I want you to gently climb into your Creator's lap. Surrender your life into her hands with the complete knowing that she will always be there with you, always be there for you, and will always be offering your guidance. You can listen to her guidance. She gives you free will. You can do what you want with your life. Her guidance comes from a place of unconditional love. And in order to hear what I will call Mother God, to hear her guidance, we have to listen with our heart, not our head. That's why we have this show called Heart-Centered Loving. In order to listen with your heart, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust your intuition. You have to trust your divine guidance. There she is, gently embracing you in her lap. And you know you're safe. You know you're loved unconditionally. And you know that together you will get through everything, every experience that you have in this life. One time when I was talking to God, I said, you know what? This is all my imagination. God's response is, well, what better place to meet you? So our challenge again every day is to surrender and trust. It's like breathing and drinking water. We got to do it all day, every day, our whole life. This is a never-ending process. It's not an event. It's not a series of events. We're on a path of self-discovery. And remembering all of our experiences are opportunity to discover something more about ourselves and to remember a little bit more about who we are. In order to do this, remember who walks beside you on the path that you have chosen. Close your eyes again. See yourself walking on this path. Hold the hand or hands of those who you've chosen to walk this path with. This is a path of love. This is a path of trust. So if I were to blindfold you and ask you to hold my hand, and you trusted me, and I would guide you, you would trust completely that I would guide you through this path, this journey called life. And all through this journey of life, I would be pointing out to you different things to see that would help you remember who you are, help you reconnect with your divine oneness, help you believe again that you are one with all that is, that you are not alone, that you are not separate. Every show I open with, you are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. So whenever you feel challenged, ask yourself, what have I created this event to teach me? Your first answer often comes from your ego. or your left brain, and it says, I'd never create this pain, or I'd never sabotage myself like this. Those are the answers to the questions that are created by fear, whose purpose is to get us to surrender our power and become a victim. Remember, we've decided earlier today, if not earlier in our life, that we aren't a victim. Fear is not real. Fear is an illusion. We will not ever surrender control of our life to fear. So we reject this concept, and we return to the concept that we are in a journey of self-discovery. And on this path, there's no right way, and there's no wrong way. All there is are a series of lessons for us to discover our true self and claim the power that is our divine inheritance. Now, here's another tough one, isn't it? Because divine inheritance, we go, what? Or power. Power isn't something we aspire to because we see that it's been abused by people at all levels of society. Trust yourself. Trust the process of life. Trust your faith in yourself, in your Creator, and in the relationship that you have. We are on a journey of self-discovery. We will be presented lessons to discover our true self and to claim our power that is our divine inheritance. Now, we don't have to do anything, do we? This is a gift, just like the Christmas. There's gifts under the tree. You don't have to open them, do you? It's a gift. Claim your gift. This power can transform conditional love into unconditional love. One more time, to get this power, you have to surrender and trust. So now let's move on to relationships with others. Our relationships will be run by fear. We can choose to reject this fear and ask, what is the loving lesson for me to learn today on my path of self-discovery? In other words, if I were centered in my heart and I'm in a place of divine love and peace, I can gently and peacefully ask myself, what did I create this experience to teach me? Very often that answer is to be true to myself. And this often dictates that we respond from the deep place of peace and love, and that we don't accept their efforts to make us feel guilty, less than, or not good enough. When they interact with us from a place of fear and guilt, it's always our choice to react out of fear or guilt or respond from a deep place of love. Again, we're talking about choice, aren't we? We're always talking about choice. So to summarize what we've covered today, we have a challenge in every situation and every experience. And the challenge is to be consciously aware that we are on a journey of self-discovery, and we will never discover anything about ourselves if we react in fear. So, life, according to me, is about three things. Number one, learning to love ourselves and to accept ourselves just the way we are. Number two, to surrender and trust our Creator. And number three, to see every event in life as an opportunity to love ourselves and others without judging or criticizing. So, the journey of self-discovery is simple. There's only one thing that makes it hard. That's when we inject fear into the equation. Fear takes us from a place of perfectly divine, ordered, unconditional love into a place of complete chaos. As always, the choice is yours. And please don't get upset with yourself when you forget. The goal is to remember that you want to come from a place of love. As soon as you become aware that you are in fear, surrender and trust, and ask your divine spirit team to transport you out of fear back into peace, love, trust, and surrender. As we come to the end of this program, I'm going to ask you to earmark this recording in a way that you can come back to it when this fear overcomes you, this monster. Share it with your friends. Remember this. You are loved. You are safe. Claim your divine inheritance. I will conclude with the ageless question, what am I? I am hope, the only remedy for despair. I am order, peace, goodness, empathy, and compassion. I am the honor of your word reflected in your actions. I am the reality we witness in shared experiences. I am the instinct for survival that drives people to act together when they face a common fear or purpose. I am also the agent that brings a premature end to some life. I am the pain associated with misfortune and the pleasure that sustains us. I am the guide for natural progression of all things. I am the force that creates increasingly complex structures in the universe. I am everything that science will ever know and all that is unknowable. I am the nothingness that cannot be comprehended. Some will say, I am the human spirit at its best. I am Mother Nature. I am fate. I am truth. I am the gods to some and God to others. I want to thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear what you would like in future shows. Email me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com with any of your comments, questions, thoughts, suggestions for future shows, etc. I will end by asking you the question I said I would at the beginning. What was the most important thing you got out of today's show? I'll be back here next Tuesday, January 21st, at 2 o'clock Pacific time. Meanwhile, I send my love from my heart to your heart. I ask that you receive this love and share it with everybody you come in contact with. There is, after all, an infinite supply of love. I love you. Bye-bye till next time.